Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to Vern's post-game show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Bernier.
Unbelievable. Good evening. I was just talking with Grant Nicholson, who's producing tonight's post-game show. I told him, I don't know what to expect from this post-game show. I have no idea where you guys are at on this Saturday night. Now, of course, you got to take into account it's a Saturday. It's a beautiful Saturday in Kansas City, so many Royals fans may be busy, right? But it's my expectation that we're either going to get a ton of calls or not a single call. It's one of those games where, honestly, I feel like it's just me because they got me again. Did they get you today? Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. 913-586-7610. I just don't know if you guys are the, and I mean this respectfully because I'm saying it about myself, I just don't know if you guys are the suckers that I am. Did they get you again today? 10-6 the final score. Royals lose. That's now six straight losses. The boys are now 40 games below 500. Earliest date in franchise history, the Royals have been 40 below. 25-65 here, 90 games into the season. Did they get you again today? Because, look, I told you earlier on the On Deck show. I told you with my predictions as far as the double play is concerned, what I was gambling on for this game. Yeah, I thought Cleveland would win. I thought Cleveland would win a close game. That was my expectation. So right out of the gate, I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed right out of the gate as the Royals strike out three times in the first inning. By the way, Kansas City, 62 strikeouts in this, the first six games of this first half ending road trip. Six games, 62 strikeouts. What? So they strike out three times in the first inning, and I'm annoyed. And then I'm disappointed in the second inning as Brady Singer walks the leadoff man and you know he comes around to score. Annoyed, disappointed. Then I'm frustrated in the fourth inning. Royals have two on and two outs and Michael Massey can't come through. And then Brady Singer gives another two runs back to the bottom of the Cleveland lineup. Yeah, I'm frustrated in the fourth. I'm giving up in the fifth. Royals trail 6-1 at this point. Game over. I went from annoyed to disappointed to frustrated to saying, "Ah, whatever. Whatever." Team right now pacing to be by far the worst squad in Royals franchise history. Ah, whatever. Give up. Who cares? And then Kyle Isbell hits an RBI double, and I feel good for Kyle Isbell. How can you not? Guy was 3-for-27 since coming off the IL. He's on base four times today. Drives in the run in the sixth inning. I'm feeling good for Kyle. Okay. Then I start getting a little excited as Bobby belts one in the seventh inning. 431 feet, his 14th home run of the season. He destroyed that hanging slider from Eli Morgan. Hey, look, hey, Bobby already has a triple, a single, he just hit a home run. Hey, you know what? Okay, the Royals are going to lose, that's fine, but Bobby might hit for the cycle. He might be the first Royal in 33 years to hit for the cycle. Finally, the Royals get to celebrate what every other franchise has been able to celebrate in those 33 years. Yeah, everyone else has hit a cycle, not the Royals. So I'm starting to get a little excited for this one. Sure, the Royals are going to lose, but hopefully one Royal can come to the plate and reach base and allow Bobby to bat in the ninth inning. And then the eighth inning happens. Royals score two. Isbell draws the walk. Matt Duffy continues to rake. Nicky Lopez looks like 2021. Nicky with that opposite field RBI single. Mikel Garcia with an RBI knock, and the Royals are within one. Sure, it was a heartbreaking finish to that eighth inning as Nicky's thrown out at the plate on a beautiful defensive play by the Guardians. But now I'm all in. Royals trail 7-6. We're going to the ninth inning. Oh, we got a chance. Oh, we didn't even get to the ninth inning. Oh, Nick Whitgren gives up three runs, and oh, I feel like such a jackass. Did they get you? Because, man, they got me. I ran the whole gamut of emotions this afternoon. Annoyed, disappointed, frustrated, apathetic, happy, hopeful, excited, all in. And I just picked myself off the floor. Royals lose 10-6. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. There was a few positive things to talk about, but right now in this opening segment, I can't find the words to tell you the positive things that happened today. Because all I see glaring at me right now is that record. Is the fact, well, we discussed it earlier today on the On Deck Show. There's only two things worth focusing on here down the stretch. 72 games remain. There's really only two things to do. Evaluate and avoid. Evaluate whoever on this team you're still evaluating, as we discussed on last night's show. Evaluate whoever you want, and then just hope that they can avoid history. Hope that this team can avoid being the worst team in American League Baseball history. Right now, the Royals are on pace to lose 117 games. The AL record is 119. The Major League Baseball record is 120. I don't want to talk about that. Avoid history. I wish I could sit here and say avoid being the worst team in Major League Baseball this season, but honestly, I don't care about that anymore. I don't want you to be the worst American League team ever, and I don't want you to be the worst Royals team ever. But again, on pace to be 11 games worse than the worst team in franchise history. And somehow they still get me? See, I think it's starting to become more of a me thing than it is a them thing. We got to talk about Brady Singer, Bobby Witt Jr., give some love to Freddie Fermin, acknowledge Mikel Garcia's RBI knock in the eighth inning, and take a bigger picture at what's going on with this Royals pitching staff, not only in 2023, but moving forward. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals fall to 0-6 on this road trip. They've been outscored by 27 runs. We take a quick timeout and we get to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
10-6, the final score. Royals trailed this game 5-0 after the fourth. Again, gave up, apathetic, moved on, big deal, getting ready for tomorrow, ready to cheer on Ryan Yarbrough. Disappointed in Brady Singer, angry at the punch-outs, but you know what? They've lost a lot this season. I certainly wasn't going to let this team get me down, and then Isbell and Bobby, and then two runs in the eighth inning, and you know, I got my face all painted up for the Royals, and then three runs come in to score off of Nick Whitgren in the eighth inning. And whatever joy we felt for a split second this afternoon was quickly ripped away from us. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Bobby Witt Jr., double shy of the cycle. He goes 3-for-5, drives in a pair of runs. That home run in the seventh and an RBI two-out triple in the fifth inning. Bobby, since the start of June, is hitting .305. That's 34 games. He's got an OPS of .810. Caller brought it up the other night. Bobby's the best player on this team. It's a crown that's been held by Salvador Perez since he returned from Tommy John surgery. Certainly does seem as if the crown right now is on the kid's head. Let's go to Jim in Marysville. Jim, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, Vern, I wanted to talk about a couple things. I admire Nick Prado for holding his temper. He did not throw his helmet or his bat today, and he had – how many opportunities did he have, 3 or 4 strikeouts today?
He had 4 strikeouts.
4 strikeouts. You know, he looks horrible at the plate. He really does. And then the other thing I want to talk about is I think the Royals better line up their pitching staff so that they're ready to go when they play the Oakland A's again. Because, with you know, if they lose to them, they're going to be below the A's. That would just be unspeakable. So,
well, they already dropped 2-3 to them, Jim.
I know that.
They did that at Kauffman Stadium.
I know that, but I, you know, Oakland is really, really bad.
And
of course, the Royals are too. I understand that, but what do you think's wrong with Prado? And I don't suggest that they set him down and let Matt Duffy be the first baseman. Matt Duffy gives it the old college try, and he'll get you some hits, but they need Vinny back, and he's not coming back this year, so they're going to have to do without him. So I'll let it go with that. So good talking to you.
Nice hearing from you, Jim. Thank you very much. The A's come to Kauffman Stadium Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, August 21st to the 23rd. Jim already has it circled on his calendar, the battle for the basement. I love it. Nick Prado with the 4 strikeouts tonight has 97 strikeouts in 65 games this season. It's not what you want. 97 strikeouts and 24 walks. 97 strikeouts and 55 hits in 65 games. You know, we've talked a lot about MJ Melendez, who also he struck out once. I think that puts him at an even 100 punch-outs for the season. Melendez goes 1-for-5, Prado 0-for-5. MJ Melendez, 101 strikeouts now this season. Only had one today, but he swung through a curveball in the dirt for his only strikeout. MJ, 101 strikeouts, 34 walks, and 63 hits in 83 games. We've talked a lot about MJ and whether or not he needs some time in Omaha to clear his head. And I was thinking about Prado. Could Prado benefit from some time in Omaha? I just don't think you can afford to send those two both down there. You know, I've had a lot of people bring up the idea of, man, you know, just send a bunch of these guys back down to Omaha and bring the guys from Omaha up to the big leagues. The issue with that is these are the guys from Omaha. All right, that's why you're 60-25-65. You know, you look at today's lineup. Who has a full big league season already under their belts? Bobby and Nicky, and that's it. Your two-hitter and your nine-hitter. Nobody else in the starting lineup has played a full big league season. Now, these are the guys that if you had a good team, these are the guys that would be fighting for ABs in the big leagues. These are the guys that'd be grinding right now in Omaha. Now, what am I seeing with Nick Prado? Man, I'm going to say something stupid, but it honestly seems like he's just not seeing the ball at all. Now, he didn't stare at any strikes today. All right, last night, Prado goes 0-for-3 with three strikeouts. Three strikeout looking last night. Stares at a cutter, stares at a fastball, stares at another cutter. That was a shaky call. And then he gets thrown out of the game. So he's at least going down swinging today. Swings through 97 in the first, again in the fifth. Swings through a changeup in the dirt in the seventh. And swings through a slider in the ninth. You know, without sounding disrespectful, what am I seeing? I'm seeing a guy that appears to be blind up there at the dish. That's what I'm seeing. Now, do I think he needs to clear his mind mentally? No. I'm not seeing that with Prado. What I'm seeing is obviously a lot of frustration. Questions about the sight, because some of these fastballs that he's either looking at or swinging through are on a tee. Now, they're big league pitchers, no doubt, and we could talk about the extension of Gavin Williams or the stuff of Aaron Civale or the nastiness of Pablo Lopez or the pitch mix of Kenta Maeda. No doubt. But this is the big leagues. 75% of the time, the guy on the hill's really, really, really good. And this goes back to a much bigger point that I've brought up quite often. Who are you sure is good? As far as these young hitters, who do you believe is good? It sounds like a very basic question, but sometimes it's that simple. Now, the thing that separates you and I from most Royals fans is we're watching all of these games. We're dialed in pitch after pitch after pitch. So if you ask us, I'll tell you what's good about Kyle Isbell or what his ceiling is. I'll tell you all about Michael Massey and what I like about him and MJ Melendez. I'll talk about his power, what Drew Waters could turn into, what Nick Prado looks like when he's going right. Right? We've seen all of these guys good. We've seen them all have nice weeks, 2 weeks. Some of them have had really good months or multiple months. So all of us that have followed this team for months, years, decades, you want to hold out hope that all of these guys are good because you've seen them good in spurts. But they wouldn't be here if they didn't have the ability to be good in spurts. The way you stay here is by being good consistently. So as you compare this group of young Royals hitters to their peers, the 13 hitters in the other 29 clubhouses. When you compare these guys to those guys, are these guys good? Who would you say is good on this team? Compared to their peers, who stands out? Because, of course, Kyle Isbell and Michael Massey and Drew Waters stand out among people. Yeah, they're one of the, they're some of the best baseball players on the planet. I'm not trying to take anything away from them. But that's why it's the big leagues, and that's why they get paid millions and millions of dollars, because you need to be the best of the best of the best. Who is good in this lineup? Salvi, no doubt. Bobby, obviously. Michael Garcia, you mentioned Vinny Pasquantino, okay. So what am I seeing right now from Nick Prado? I'm seeing a guy that himself still isn't sure. Am I good at this big league level? Now, Prado in May and June was fantastic. But now the report's out, man. You can blow fastballs up, even if they're down the middle of the plate, as long as they're up. He can't see them. He's swinging through them or staring at them. So I don't know if I'm disappointed in Nick Prado. Again, I've told you, he's one of the few guys that I'm still evaluating. One of those guys that I'm not 100% sure what he could be, what his ceiling is, what his floor is. Prado, Massey, and Waters, to me, are the three biggest question marks in this lineup. But I see a guy that's frustrated, a guy that's going through something similar to what we saw from Bobby Witt Jr. in the first month and a half of the season, where you know your own talent. You've showcased your talent at the big league level before, right? Bobby did last year in spurts. Prado did in May and in June. So you know you're good enough to produce at a high level. You see you're surrounded by guys that are having a very difficult time producing at a high level. So you throw some added pressure and an extra burden on your own shoulders and carry that up to the dish. And that never works out. You know, what I'm seeing right now from Bobby Witt Jr. is a guy that understands, I can't lead us to victory if I don't handle my business in this at-bat, with this ground ball, with this throw. I'm not going to be able to turn this win-loss record around. I'm not going to be able to raise my OPS. I'm not going to be able to put smiles on the fans' faces or my teammates' faces. I'm not going to be able to do that until I handle my business. And Bobby doesn't seem to be letting the ancillary stuff get in his mind. It's very similar to what we're watching with Daniel Lynch. Focus on what you need to do and block out the things that you do not control. I think Nick Prado's struggling with that right now. 913-586-7610. Speaking of struggling, Brady Singer takes the loss. He's now 5-8 on the season. Singer gives up 6 runs on a career-high 13 hits. Walked only 1, struck out 3. Singer fails to record an out in the 6th inning for the first time in a month. This is his 18th start this season. 18 starts, and on average, he's given you just over 5 innings every time he takes the ball. Now, that might be good for Zach Greinke. That might be good for a guy that's knocking on the door of 40. But for a 26-year-old that was representing this country in the World Baseball Classic that everyone knew was the number one of this staff and should have been the opening day starter, you cannot average 5 innings a start. 913-586-7610. Let's head inside that Royals clubhouse. Let's hear what Brady Singer had to say afterward to Bally Sports Kansas City.
Zone with the walks, you know, limited. I don't think I only had 1 walk there. But not much. I mean, I think they had a really good 2-strike approach. You know, I couldn't really put guys away there. I feel like I was getting to, you know, 2 strikes, and, you know, they had a, like I said, a good approach on 2 strikes there.
When you're working with your sinker and your slider, how difficult was it to kind of get it in the zone and let it stay in the zone today?
Yeah, I was trying to stay on the attack, but, you know, I feel like the ones that were in the zone were getting hit. I threw the changeup a lot more today. It was good at times. It, you know, took some really good ones, I thought. You know, gave a hit on one, but, yeah, I think the slider with 2 strikes wasn't where I wanted it to be.
You have a lot of hard contact. Was that because of the way they were approaching or just you missing your spots, like you said, with your pitches?
I think it was, you know, I don't know how many spots I really, you know, did miss. I missed quite a few, but I think it was more their approach there. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, with 2 strikes, they were doing the most damage. You know, I feel like they had a good approach on the whole day.
Yeah, and you've seen them a lot. Is that something that goes into your mind? Just it's a team that is super familiar with your stuff at all? Is that something that goes in?
No, not too much. You know, I tried to, you know, do some different things to different guys, and you know, like you said, not try to, you know, sit there and do the same thing. But obviously, it didn't work out today.
And how would you sum up your first half?
A lot of ups and downs. You know, obviously, try to stay more consistent in the second half. But it was just kind of up and down. You know, there were some good ones in there, but obviously a lot of tough ones in there. But you know, we got the rest of the season, rest of the half to you know, get after it.
Did you feel like today was just kind of just a battle from the first pitch, or was it something like you kind of found a groove later on, but it was, the damage was too late?
I don't think I really found a groove all day. You know, I was kind of struggling throughout the whole outing. I was just trying to, you know, limit as much as I could. You know, obviously there's some innings starting off with some hits, and, you know, I was trying to, you know, limit as much as I could, but just couldn't do it all day.
Cleveland scored in six of the eight innings, scoring in the first, second, fourth, fifth, sixth, and eighth. Cleveland wins 10-6. It's the eighth time this season Brady Singer's given up five runs or more. Eight times. Singer's done that eight times in his first three seasons combined. Five or more runs, eight times this year, eight times in his first three seasons combined. Six in total today bumps his season ERA to a very disappointing 5.8. And you look at Major League Baseball right now, there's only five pitchers that have an ERA north of 5.2. Qualified pitchers, starting pitchers that are taking the ball basically every fifth day. There's only five. The five highest ERAs in Major League Baseball among qualified starters, the highest belongs to Jordan Lyles. Second highest goes to Colorado's Austin Gomber, who's who the Rockies got for Nolan Arenado. Could you imagine? Third is Lance Lynn of the White Sox, who's still punching tickets left and right. Brady Singer has the fourth highest ERA in Major League Baseball, Zach Greinke fifth. So three of the five highest marks in the sport, courtesy of your Kansas City Royals. It's Ryan Yarbrough on the hill tomorrow. He squares off with Shane Bieber. It's a 12:40 first pitch, and I'll be on the air beginning at 11:30 as the Royals try to win one on this road trip as they head into the All-Star break. I see Will Klein, Royals representative in the Futures game, has already taken the hill. I'll give you an update on how he fared, and we'll dive into that text line after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Burns Post Game Show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
10-6, the final score. Royals lose in Cleveland. That's six straight losses, six straight games of this road trip to end the first half of the season. It ends tomorrow. Ryan Yarbrough on the hill opposite former Cy Young Award winner Shane Bieber. 12:40 first pitch. I got the on-deck show beginning at 11:30. A seven-game road trip. Royals hoping to salvage one win. Again, this is all on the heels of that Dodgers series where Royals win 2 of 3. Since then, outscored 41-14, losing all six games. Let's go to Rich in Lee's Summit. Rich, appreciate the phone call. How are you?
Good, Vern. Good. Appreciate, I like your show. I just found out about it a couple of years ago, but really enjoy it.
Thank you. It only got good recently.
Yeah. Well, last spring here, we had a rain delay, and the radio guys played an interview with Burt Blyleven. Mm. He was the Hall of Fame pitcher for the Twins, who had a fabulous Super Bowl. And, of course, one thing he said, he was embarrassed when he could never finish a game. But the point I wanted to make was he went on to talk about pitchers in the weight room and how, you know, some of the trainers were trying to bulk up the pitchers, and he thought that, you know, a pitcher needs a long, smooth, stretched-out muscle. He doesn't need a big bicep. And I just wondered if that might explain some of the Brady Singers and the Brad Killers that pitch fabulously for a while, and then, you know, maybe they get bulked up during the winter months, and, you know, they got to retrain their arm how to pitch.
Well, look, I'm certainly not going to argue with Bert Blyleven. He obviously knows a lot more about baseball and pitching than I do. But I don't think that's the case with Brady Singer, and I don't believe that Blyleven, and I don't know if you're saying this, I don't believe Blyleven was talking about Singer.
Lynch. No.
Right, okay. No, I mean, being around them, you know, they're growing as men, but they're not all that much more bulked up than they were when Singer debuted in 20, when Lynch debuted in 2021. I think the reason why you don't see starters, the reason why you don't see Brady or Lynch go as deep as Bert Blyleven did is, number one, like you mentioned, Blyleven's a Hall of Famer. It's difficult to get in there. And then, you know, you look at Blyleven's career, the most he ever made in his career, he was 40. In 1991, he made $2 million. And Brady Singer got more than $2 million just to sign with the Royals coming out of college. So the money that these organizations have tied up in those right arms and left arms and elbows and shoulders, those elbows and shoulders are a lot more valuable to owners and GMs in 2023 than they were in the late 70s, 80s, and 90s when Blyleven was playing. So they take care of them. They baby them, if you will. But it's just such a different game. And shoot, if you got Mac Quatrero to speak honestly with you, he would do away with starting pitchers and relief pitchers. Now, ideally, he would have five aces and studs at the back end of the bullpen. But he's cut from that Tampa cloth where, man, I'm fine bullpenning it. I don't want my starting pitcher to feel a sense of ownership over the game. I want a pitcher to come in, face a lineup once, give me three innings, and then hand it off to the next guy. It's not the baseball that we grew up with, Rich, but it's what this new generation wants the game to turn into. I don't think it ever will happen because of egos and money, but that's the new age thinking. That's the analytical way of thinking, I guess.
Yeah, that's all fair. I just like to see more consistency out of our pitchers. I don't know how in the world you do it, but
yeah.
All right.
Rich, appreciate the phone call. Something else to consider, and well, I mentioned earlier, the only guys I'm really evaluating, and this is just me, you know, what do I know? But the only guys that I'm still evaluating, the only guys that I'm still up in the air about what they could be, what's their potential, what's their floor, Waters, Massey, Prado. You know, Singer and Lynch, yeah, I'm still glued to the screen and, you know, up in the press box for every single game, every single start that they make. But no, I don't envision either one of them pitching a game one or a game two for a contending team. Singer's going to turn 27 in about a month. Lynch will turn 27 this offseason. So these guys haven't even truly entered their prime, right? Prime is 28 to 32. So, look, again, it's just my opinion. We've seen pitchers blossom in their age 27, 28, 29 season. It's happened before, and I hope it happens for these guys. And I'm not saying they can't be on a championship rotation. I just don't think they're game one, game two type of guys. That's, you know, Singer has the mentality. You know, Lynch has the build. At times has the stuff. But no, you use the word, Rich, consistency. They haven't done it consistently enough. Now, Singer's now in his fourth big league season. Lynch is third. So, again, they're still somewhat young in the game. But, yeah, I've put a ceiling on them. Sorry. And the thing that separates being a number four, a number three, from being a number one, number two, consistency, the word you used. And I'll ask the same question about this pitching staff that I did about the offense. Who's good? Who are you convinced is good? Not who has talent, because they all have talent. Not who you've seen good, because we've seen them all good. The second half of last season, Brady Singer was darn near automatic. Daniel Lynch has been good over the past month. Doesn't mean I think he's going to be good for the next month. Doesn't mean I think that Singer's going to be good for the second half this year. I hope that they are. But they haven't done it consistently enough for me to believe that they can lead a rotation. And they haven't done it consistently enough for me to believe that they're going to do it again. Well, the onus is on them to go out there and do it. That's what this evaluation season of 2023 is all about. All-Star Game featuring Salvador Perez. That gets going on Tuesday night in Seattle. Today, it was the Futures Game. Royals represented by 23-year-old right-hander Will Klein. Royals took him in the fifth round back in 2020. And Klein came out to, pitch the second inning. Comes out to pitch the second inning. He walks the first batter that he faces. Gets the next guy to ground into a fielder's choice. So man on first with one out. He walks the next guy. Gives up a stolen base. So now it's runners on the corners with one out. And then he gives up an RBI single and then he gets pulled from the game. So that's just how it's gone this season. Congratulations, Will Klein. I hope you're able to cherish the memories and remember today as a positive. Four batters, one out, a pair of walks and a hit. Not.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's postgame show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
10-6, the final score. Royals lose in Cleveland. That's six straight losses, six straight games of this road trip to end the first half of the season. It ends tomorrow. Ryan Yarbrough on the hill opposite former Cy Young Award winner Shane Bieber. 12:40 first pitch. I got the on-deck show beginning at 11:30. A seven-game road trip. Royals hoping to salvage one win. Again, this is all on the heels of that Dodgers series where Royals win 2 of 3. Since then, outscored 41-14, losing all six games. Let's go to Rich in Lee Summit. Rich, appreciate the phone call. How are you?
Good, Vern. Good. Appreciate, I like your show. I just found out about it a couple years ago, but really enjoy it.
Thank you. It only got good recently.
Yeah. Well, last spring here, we had a rain delay and the radio guys played an interview with Burt Blyleven. Mm. He was the Hall of Fame pitcher for the Twins who had a fabulous Super Bowl. And of course, one thing he said, he was embarrassed when he could never finish a game. But the point I wanted to make was he went on to talk about pitchers in the weight room and how, you know, some of the trainers were trying to bulk up the pitchers, and he thought that, you know, a pitcher needs a long, smooth, stretched-out muscle. He doesn't need a big bicep. And I just wondered if that might explain some of the Brady Singers and the Brad Killers that pitch fabulously for a while and then, you know, maybe they get bulked up during the winter months and, you know, they got to retrain their arm how to pitch.
Well, I'm certainly not going to argue with Burt Blyleven. He obviously knows a lot more about baseball and pitching than I do. But I don't think that's the case with Brady Singer. And I don't believe that Blyleven, and I don't know if you're saying this, I don't believe Blyleven was talking about Singer.
No, Lynch.
Right. Okay. Being around them, they're growing as men, but they're not all that much more bulked up than they were when Singer debuted in 20, when Lynch debuted in 2021. I think the reason why you don't see starters, the reason why you don't see Brady or Lynch go as deep as Burt Blyleven did is, number one, like you mentioned, Blyleven's a Hall of Famer. It's difficult to get in there. And then, you look at Blyleven's career, the most he ever made in his career, he was 40. In 1991, he made $2 million. Brady Singer got more than $2 million just to sign with the Royals coming out of college. So the money that these organizations have tied up in those right arms and left arms and elbows and shoulders, those elbows and shoulders are a lot more valuable to owners and GMs in 2023 than they were in the late 70s, 80s, and 90s when Blylevin was playing. So they take care of them. They baby them, if you will. But it's just such a different game. And shoot, if you got Mac Potrero to speak honestly with you, he would do away with starting pitchers and relief pitchers. Now, ideally, he would have five aces and studs at the back end of the bullpen. But he's cut from that Tampa cloth where, man, I'm fine bullpenning it. I don't want my starting pitcher to feel a sense of ownership over the game. I want a pitcher to come in, face a lineup once, give me three innings, and then hand it off to the next guy. It's not the baseball that we grew up with, Rich, but it's what this new generation wants the game to turn into. I don't think it ever will happen because of egos and money, but that's the new age thinking. That's the analytical way of thinking, I guess.
Yeah, that's all fair. I just like to see more consistency out of our pitchers. I don't know how in the world you do it, but
yeah.
All right.
Rich, appreciate the phone call. Something else to consider, and I mentioned earlier, the only guys I'm really evaluating, and this is just me, you know, what do I know? But the only guys that I'm still evaluating, the only guys that I'm still up in the air about what they could be, what's their potential, what's their floor, Waters, Massey, Prado. You know, Singer and Lynch, yeah, I'm still glued to the screen and, you know, up in the press box for every single game, every single start that they make. But no, I don't envision either one of them pitching a game one or a game two for a contending team. Singer's going to turn 27 in about a month. Lynch will turn 27 this offseason. So these guys haven't even truly entered their prime, right? Prime is 28 to 32. So, look, again, it's just my opinion. We've seen pitchers blossom in their age 27, 28, 29 season. It's happened before, and I hope it happens for these guys. And I'm not saying they can't be on a championship rotation. I just don't think they're game one, game two type of guys. That's, you know, Singer has the mentality. Lynch has the build. At times has the stuff. But no, you use the word, Rich, consistency. They haven't done it consistently enough. Now, Singer's now in his fourth big league season. Lynch is third. So again, they're still somewhat young in the game. But yeah, I've put a ceiling on them. Sorry. And the thing that separates being a number four, a number three, from being a number one, number two, consistency, the word you used. And I'll ask the same question about this pitching staff that I did about the offense. Who's good? Who are you convinced is good? Not who has talent, because they all have talent. Not who you've seen good, because we've seen them all good. The second half of last season, Brady Singer was darn near automatic. Daniel Lynch has been good over the past month. Doesn't mean I think he's going to be good for the next month. Doesn't mean I think that Singer's going to be good for the second half this year. I hope that they are. But they haven't done it consistently enough for me to believe that they can lead a rotation. And they haven't done it consistently enough for me to believe that they're going to do it again. Well, the onus is on them to go out there and do it. That's what this evaluation season of 2023 is all about. All-Star Game featuring Salvador Perez. That gets going on Tuesday night in Seattle. Today, it was the Futures Game. Royals represented by 23-year-old right-hander Will Klein. Royals took him in the fifth round back in 2020. And Klein came out to, pitch the second inning. Comes out to pitch the second inning. He walks the first batter that he faces. gets the next guy to ground into a fielder's choice. So man on first with one out. He walks the next guy, gives up a stolen base. So now it's runners on the corners with one out. And then he gives up an RBI single, and then he gets pulled from the game. So that's just how it's gone this season. Congratulations, Will Klein. I hope you're able to cherish the memories and remember today as a positive. But you know, four batters, one out, a pair of walks and a hit, not what you're looking for. Bobby Witt Jr. ripped a bag as well today. Again, single, triple, homer, run scored, two runs driven in, and a stolen base. He now has 27 bags this season. That's good for fourth most in Major League Baseball. He's one back of Wander Franco, one in front of Corbin Carroll. Oddly enough, Corbin Carroll of the Diamondbacks and Ellie De La Cruz of the Cincinnati Reds, both of them were in the Futures game just a year ago. And now those two are battling it out for the National League Rookie of the Year award. Did you see what Ellie De La Cruz did earlier today, by the way? I know this is a Royals postgame show, but this dude, again, is the Giannis of Major League Baseball. This kind of ball player didn't exist 30 years ago. Stole second base, and then he stole third. And after stealing third, he just kept going and ended up stealing home as well.
He takes off again. Pitch down and in. Fame throw. There's no chance.
So he goes to third.
Two steals.
De La Cruz had already looked a couple of times at Brian Anderson, knowing that if he got a jump.
He's going to the throw. He stole. The most thrilling man in baseball stole second, third, and home.
21 years of age, the youngest player in baseball history to do that. Steal second, third, and home. Cincinnati's fun. There's a lot of fun teams in Major League Baseball. Really hoping this Royals... But this was fun for like 20 minutes. Again, the game was annoying, disappointing, frustrating, and then you started to feel better. You were happy for Kyle Isbell. You were happy for Bobby Witt Jr. And then, oh my God, you were completely invested because the Royals, down by five on two separate occasions, came fighting back, pulled within one to end the eighth inning. And that hope, that joy, that happiness that we felt was quickly dashed as Nick Whitgren gives up three runs in the bottom of the eighth and Cleveland goes on to win 10-6. Let's go to the J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. From the 913, yes, Vern, they got me too. Hook, line, and sinker. Hayden in Lenexa writes in, Vern, they got me when they were within one. I thought we had a chance. Vern, I'm not impressed with Brady Singer, but he did go the distance. He didn't go the distance. He went five innings. Five innings, six runs on 13 hits. Now, you know, did he quit? No, but I'm not giving Brady credit for that anymore. That's why he's here. That's why he continues to get the ball from Q and this organization. That's why he was drafted in the first round. That's why I go so hard for Brady Singer, because he is a competitor. He is a fighter. 18 pitches in the first, 25 in the second, 15 in the third, 19 in the fourth, 15 in the fifth. Yeah, didn't have an easy inning, didn't have a clean inning. Gave up runs in four of his five innings. Yeah, he battled, but Hayden, I'm sorry, man. I gave Brady credit for that in 2020 and in 2021 and even at times last season. But last season, he took a step to the next level where you can acknowledge it, and I guess that's all you're doing. I'm not trying to come at you, Hayden. Yeah, we can acknowledge it and give him a thumbs up, but that's about where it should end. Brady's graduated from those little participation ribbons. Hey, you didn't quit. Good job. That's professional baseball. You better get out there and grind. Because if Brady doesn't have that, whatever that is inside of him, he's not here. He's not a big leaguer. That's what got him here, is that fire that burns inside of Brady Singer. It's the reason why, man, do I wish they'd put some more talent around him. I really think this losing is getting to him. Now, maybe that's just me standing for Brady Singer. But we've seen it with a lot of guys over the years. Right, I mentioned the Royals reach 40 games below 500, the earliest on the calendar they've done that in franchise history. 25-65, 90 games in. They were also 25-65 back in 2018, year one of the rebuild. Exact same record at the exact same point in the season. And if you've been following the Royals since then, since that 2018 campaign, anyone associated with the Royals has that stink on them. And Brady's getting that stink on them. And I think it's bothering him. Just like it did Whit Merrifield. Now, the reason why I think so many of you look down upon Scott Barlow is because of that stink. I think that stink has Brad Keller just all sorts of mishugana. Dating back to last season, I think that stink has finally overwhelmed Brad Keller. 913-586-7610, back to the text line. From the 816, Vern, is Brewer Hicklin close to getting called back up? Well, he's not on the 40-man roster. So, no, I wouldn't think so. That game was rained out earlier today in Omaha. He's as great of a character as you could ask for inside of a clubhouse. A solid bat, a terrific AAA player. I hope he does. I got nothing against Brewer Hicklin. Now, if MJ Melendez goes down to AAA, is he the guy you call up? Is he the guy you put on the 40-man roster? Yeah, maybe. Do you bring Nate Eaton back? Do you call Samad Taylor back? How about Tyler Gentry, another one of those 2020 picks with Will Klein? There are some options. But respectfully to all of them, none of those options really get me all that excited. Few more from the J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Scott in Phoenix. No, Vern, they didn't get me today. I actually got the sense that Singer kept things from getting even worse. Then I saw he gave up 13 hits in 5 innings. Yeah, strange to say, trailing 5-0 after... trailing 5-0 after 4, excuse me. Trailing 6-1 after 5. Crazy to say that, yeah, this game should have been... I can't even go there because, yeah, sure, the Guardians left men on base left and right. Made a pair of base running mistakes, but got thrown out on the base paths twice in the 5th inning. Double play in the 2nd helps Brady escape a bases loaded one-out jam in the 2nd. But the Royals had chances too. So both teams spoiled some tasty offensive opportunities. You know, you look at the Royals, who tonight struck out 10 times, and again, 62 strikeouts on this 6-game road trip. Of the 10 strikeouts today, half of them were in big spots. Half of them were in those spots where you tell the guy, you just can't strike out. Put the ball in play. Fly out, ground out, fine. Just do not strike out. You heard me talk a lot about those situations against the Rays and Dodgers, because against the Rays and Dodgers, the Royals in those situations were not striking out. They were putting the ball in play. Because against the Rays and the Dodgers, you leave the ego in the clubhouse. You step to the dish knowing it's going to take all of us. Backs up against the wall, We need to be gladiators out here. No one believes in us. So you're willing to go the other way. You're not trying to hit the home run because you don't think that you need to do it all. You know that the cards are stacked against you, the deck stacked against you. You got to work together. Not so much against Minnesota, not so much against Cleveland. Today, man on second with one out. Nick Prado goes down swinging. MJ Melendez goes down swinging. Man on second with two outs in the second inning. Drew Waters goes down swinging. Man on third with two outs. Fifth inning. Nick Prado goes down swinging. Two on with one out. Drew Waters got to put the ball in play. Goes down swinging. Now you heard those names. Waters, Melendez, Prado. All three of them under the age of 25. All three of them right at the center of this evaluation season. 913-586-7610. My game notes following this 10-6 loss are presented by Jay Southland Tow Service. Royals pitching allows double-digit runs for the 12th time this season. In fact, they've allowed 8 or more runs in more than a quarter of the games in 2023. Michael Garcia reached base, RBI double in the 8th inning. He's now reached base safely in each of his last 9 games, batting .412 in that span. The text line, Henry from Topeka reaching out. He says, Vern, I have an unpopular opinion. I think Brady Singer is in need of a third pitch. I know he's thrown the changeup from time to time, but in my opinion, if he threw a four-seam to dot the corners or even a cutter, I think his two-seam and slider would, of course, be much better. Easier said than done, signed Henry in Topeka. Yeah, of course, any other pitch that you can put in the back of a hitter's mind is going to benefit you, right? And the changeup against lefties, I don't know. How many did he throw today? Singer in total, 5 innings, threw 92 pitches. And of those 92 pitches in this, his 8th loss of the season. I'll have that statistic for you shortly. But in the meantime, let me run through a few more of these text messages. 913-586-7610. This coming from Katie on the East Coast. Fern, this is getting on the verge of torture. Not sure how much longer I can keep tuning in. Hate to hear that. Singer threw 9 changeups, according to Baseball Savant. Now, Brady's made the point that at times his two-seam and changeup start to mesh. So the data isn't always correct, but if the data is, 9 of his 92 pitches were changeups. I'll take it. 10%, I'll take it. At least you're putting something in there. The hitter, even though if I'm a hitter, I'm still throwing it out, and I'm sitting either slider or sinker and trying to do damage. Look at what Cleveland did today. What did they? They went opposite field. They put beautiful swings on the offerings from Brady Singer. Now, he was over the plate. He was up in the zone pretty consistently. Wasn't good today. But just terrific approaches, terrific swings by that Cleveland offense. Roger the Ozarks points out that the worst winning percentage in the history of Major League Baseball, the worst winning percentage for a manager in their first 2 years, Royals have 4 of the top 15 in baseball history. But he notes that Q could have the worst record through 2 seasons in Major League Baseball history. Yeah, well, let's see what next year looks like. The first 90 have not been great for Q. I don't know how much of them, if any, you lay at his feet. You put Whitey Herzog on this bench, and I don't know how much better the Royals are than 25 and 65, to be quite honest with you. Rally Mantis points out that it's been 11 years to the day since Kauffman Stadium hosted the Futures game. Yeah, I'll never forget that. That was Will Myers, Jake Odorizzi, and Yordano Ventura. I had been in Kansas City for maybe a month, 2 months by the time that Futures game started. I had never met Yordano Ventura. I was dumber then than I am now, so I didn't assume he didn't speak English, and I went up to him and started talking with him, and he was smiling and nodding along, pretending like he understood what I said. Then he finally called over a buddy, and he translated for me. And yeah, I'll never forget that day. Rest in peace to the great Yordano Ventura. From the 816, Vern, up until yesterday, Nick Prado had the second-best batting average on the team with 6 base hits. Yeah, he's had 2 really bad games, but there's about 15 other guys that are worse than Nick Prado. Everybody's going to slump. He's going to turn it around, tell everyone to relax about Nick Prado. All right, will do. Love the attitude. Love the optimism. Dan and KCK is ready to watch Ryan Yarbrough tomorrow. From the 816, Vern, yes, they got me. I was hanging on waiting for the potential cycle from Bobby Witt Jr. And then, yeah, they definitely got me by tacking on those runs in the 8th. And, well, I should have known better. No, it's not your fault for buying back in. We all bought back in that 8th inning when the Royals cut it to a 7-6 Cleveland lead. Unfortunately, Cleveland would score 3 more in the 8th. And, well, you know what? That's what should have happened. This was at least a 4-run game. So the final score is indicative of the type of difference between the two ball clubs today. A few more from the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. From the 832, Vern, I don't think anyone can feel got by this team. You know, I look at the Royals like I do the XFL, the NBA, and the NHL. Just something to watch until training camp starts. All right. That's fair, just so long as listening to my postgame show remains a part of that. I would greatly appreciate that. From the 417, Vern, how often do you just shake your head and go WTF to some of the stuff that you hear? Twice a day. Now, that's including, like, family as well, like goofy things my wife, no. But yeah, twice a day with this team, with callers at times, with text messages, sure. All right, we got 3 more that I want to get to. Stefan writes in, Vern, what are the odds the Royals take a position player at number 8 this weekend? Draft coming up on Sunday. What are the odds? I'll say it's minus 160, Royals take a position player with the 8th overall pick. Yeah. Yeah, what's that, like a 70% chance? 65% chance? I'd lay it there, Stefan. Gabe in Independence says, MJ Melendez and Nick Prado need to go down to Omaha. Unfortunately, we have no one to replace them, so here we are. Yeah. Yeah, Gabe, you're my kind of guy. That's well said. Randy from KCK, Vern, I got teased too. They got me. Vern, we need pitching. We need 3 pitchers next year. We are so young. Zach Greinke's done. It's Brady, Daniel, and nobody else right now. Yeah, Randy, I mean, you're right when it comes to the big league team. Alec Marsh would like a word. But he's only made 2 starts. Who knows what he's going to turn into? Cole Reagan's the 25-year-old that he got from the Rangers. You're going to see him in the second half of the season. But Randy, it's funny that you say we need 3 pitchers, because that's what I was saying on every single postgame show last year. You got to give me 3 free agent pitchers. I want 2 starters and a reliever, and I want them to be name guys. And I gave you some names. Unfortunately, those names all decided to sign elsewhere. Fair contracts. But if I was those pitchers and the Royals offered me the contract, and like Nate Eovaldi, yeah, I'm going to go to the Rangers over the Royals. Kyle Gibson, yeah, I'm going to go to the Orioles over the Royals. Sean Manaea, yeah, I'm going to the Giants over the Royals. And the Royals got us 3 pitchers. Ryan Yarbrough, who you'll see tomorrow. Aroldis Chapman, who turned into Cole Reagans, and Jordan Lyles. Those were your three pitchers. So, Randy, I'm with you. I need three pitchers again this offseason. And I'd like them to be name guys again. I'd like them to be someone that leapfrogs Brady Singer and Daniel Lynch on the depth chart. Because Jordan Lyles didn't do that. Immediately didn't do that. Name recognition didn't do that. Spring training and numbers and history didn't do that. Jordan Lyles slotted in as, you know, your number two right when you signed him. I want someone that when you sign him, you go, oh, okay, there's our number one. Oh, yep, there's the guy that's going to take the ball on opening day, and Brady Singer's going to have no issue with it. Because even he's going to acknowledge, yeah, this dude's maybe not better than me. Maybe he doesn't acknowledge that. But this dude deserves the ball game one. Randy, appreciate it. 913-586-7610. That's the phone number. That's also the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, as we're back with you one more time Sunday morning, 11:30, for the On Deck Show as Ryan Yarbrough squares off with Shane Bieber. It's the finale of this four-game series, the finale of the first half, and the finale of this seven-game road trip. Royals hoping to win one. Yarbrough looked really good in Omaha. But a lot of guys look good in Omaha. Nate Eaton is crushing it in Omaha right now. Guy had two hits all year in the big leagues. Well, I don't mean to be negative. You know what? I'm all in. Let's go, Ryan Yarbrough. Keep it up, Nate Eaton. Grant Nicholson, thanks.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programs.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.